Should we say anything else? Oh, just to say one more thing about students and things. When we first went to Norwich, do you want to hold that? I was a young pastor, really, and I spent most of my time up on the campus there at UEA. It was just such a buzz, so great. I mean, and I look back, and there's, because having been there for 34 years or whatever in Norwich, I now know that there's people that we connected with all those years ago. They've gone all over the world, all over this country, some even in Parliament here in London. And you think, what a privilege to be able to speak, share, pray, have fun with, have coffee with. I'm so, so grateful. And I, you know, do pray for these guys. Pray for students. It's wow, you're in a student city. In fact, we got someone coming from Norwich to study here. We speak, but I'll meet you afterwards. It's great. What an opportunity. All the nations of the world. One of our sites is up near the university at King's End. Just beautiful, all the nations. And, yeah, I better stop. Do you want to say something about that before you sit down?
Where shall I start? Basically, Gough wrote a book called Hope Wins. And the strap line is how a vision of our eternal future impacts our lives today. And Gough will share more during his preach. But basically, we live in a culture that lives for the here and now. And previous generations of Christians really had a sense of the fact that this is not our home. It really isn't our home. We're exiles, we're aliens, we're passing through. And we do have a wonderful eternal future. But it's so easy to lose sight of that in the sort of culture that we live in. So this book is all about hope, which is very apt given our name.
Do you want to take it with you? I might drop it. There's a few outside there for later. Anyway, it's great to be here. Wonderful to be here. And lovely to see your smiling faces. It's a privilege to be speaking to you. And I've been given the wonderful subject. Hugh gave me this subject, Surprised by Hope. And, you know, that's what I want to bring to you this morning. The surprising hope that is available in these pretty hopeless days. Now, there's some, just to say, first of all, there's some, if you've got eyes to see, there's some beautiful things happening across the nations. Jesus is building his church. In these days when there's such kind of scattering of people, loneliness, that, you know, that's what's going on in the world, is it? More and more people living on their own than ever before. Loneliness, people on their own. There's that kind of breakup happening, breakup of families, breakup of relationships. Jesus is gathering his church, and it is beautiful. That's what we are a part of. Some friends of yours, is it Ben and Mika? They went from here out to Nijmegen, right? There's a beautiful thing happening in Nijmegen. It's just bursting with people. And, you know, I spoke to Maurice Nightingale this week, and he was saying, it is so exciting. It's the fastest growing church he's ever seen. And Walter and Simone, who lead the church, they came to Norwich 10 years ago to do a year's training. We kept them for 10 years, and now we've let them go back. And they're planted. So we're in touch with them. It's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I was on the phone this week having a Zoom call with the four pastors in Frankfurt. Right in the middle of Frankfurt, it's these young pastors. There's all people coming to know the Lord through Alpha and everything. It's beautiful, wonderful. Jesus is building his church. He's gathering his church, and you are a part of that. And it is beautiful. It is beautiful. This is the heart of God. A subtext to the Bible really is that God wants a big family. He wants a big family. And it's such a joy to be part of that, to be gathered together, to be part of the family of God. So that's my kind of theme. Was it? No, my theme's hope, isn't it? But surprised by hope. If you've got eyes to see it, God is doing something beautiful. The alternative, if you're not seeing that, what you'll see as you look across the nations is fear, uncertainty, and hopelessness very often, right? You look at the news on a tomorrow morning, you could probably depress yourself in 30 seconds flat with all the stuff that's going on in the world. There's something else going on, and it's beautiful. Do you know, I will get on with this, but a while back, a guy came up to the front at a church in Norwich, and I don't think he's ever done it before. He's been in the church about 10 years, and when he appeared, he came to church. He was an addict. He had big problems, and he started serving in the coffee shop and so on, and he came to know the Lord, and he walked up the front the other Sunday, and he said, I've got something for someone sitting here this morning. You're a bit like I was when I came in here 10 years ago. You're holding on to your seat, thinking, how long can I stay here before I can get out? It was feeling, and he said, I want to say this to you. Stay until you've experienced the miracle of fellowship. Because that's what I've discovered. I stayed long enough to discover the miracle of fellowship. And God's changed my life. And he went and sat down. That beautiful, the miracle of fellowship in a broken world. Hey, let's read the Bible. And I want to read to you. The passage I've been given is from Luke chapter 24. It's a great story. You'll probably know it. Easter's a couple of weeks. 2 weeks today. Easter Sunday. Is that right? Can you start eating Easter eggs yet? Wait a bit longer. Luke 24, verse 13. Okay. Lord, thank you. This book's alive. Your word is alive. Would you speak? I pray, please, please, be prodding, nudging, speaking to us this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Chapter 24 of Luke, verse 13. Now, that same day, what day? Resurrection day. Jesus bursting out of the grave, disappearing from the grave. Two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened in there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers, they handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what's more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb, and they found it just as the women had said. They didn't see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are and slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Didn't the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." I'd like to have been there, wouldn't you? "As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us. It's nearly evening. The day's almost gone.' So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at table with them, he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, 'Whoa, were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking with us on the road and opening the scriptures to us?' And they got up at once to Jerusalem, returned to Jerusalem at once. They found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It's true, the Lord has risen and he's appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened to them on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke bread. Okay, quite a long reading. It's a really good, great story. And I've just got five short points. They're really short. Okay, 5 points. The first one is this. We had hoped. I wonder if you can identify with that. We had hoped. When Angie and I go out walking sometimes, I don't know if you find it, you're like this. If you're not careful, you can be in the most beautiful place. You're walking along and you're looking at the ground. You're just looking down, yeah? You're just looking down and you have to stop, whoa, what? And the trouble is you then start thinking of kind of all the stuff that's cluttering up your head and you miss the bigger picture. Anyone else do that? You know, you have to, hang on, let's look, come on, let's look. Oh, look over there. But if you're not careful, you look down there. And that's what we often do in life. We're just living one step at a time. We've got no sense of the bigger thing out there. And we just churn over all the stuff and it kind of just takes you down, okay? So that's a danger that all of us have in every day. Whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, heads go down and you just get preoccupied with the ordinary stuff. Hope matters. It really, really does. It's an important ingredient in our lives. Now, there's a guy called Viktor Frankl. I don't know, some of you may have heard of him. He survived Auschwitz. He was a medic and a psychiatrist. And he wrote a book after when he got through all that ordeal, and it's called Man's Search for Meaning. It's quite a well-known book, Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl. And he wrote about his experience. He wrote this quote: "The prisoner who had lost faith in the future, his future, was doomed. With his loss of belief in the future, maybe he just got some news that a loved one was no more or something. With the loss of his belief in the future, he also lost his spiritual hold. He let himself decline and became subject to mental and physical decay. And usually this happened quite suddenly. Usually it began with the prisoner refusing to get up, get dressed, wash or go out. And no entreaties, blows or threats had any effect. He just lay there. He simply gave up." Oh, it's absolutely tragic. Absolutely tragic. And, you know, as human beings, we need something in the future to be optimistic about, to fuel our lives. We do. We need that. And, you know, we'll see it in children, hop, skipping, jumping. We had the grandchildren around yesterday. I'm exhausted. It was fun. But we see it in children. They'll just skip naturally, won't they? Yeah, don't see it so much with older folk, right? Because, you know, an upcoming birthday. We're going to Centre Parks in a couple of weeks, and they've got it on the side of the fridge. How many days to Centre Parks? Woo, you know. We're excited about things in the future. We need that, okay? We need dreams. We need aspirations. We need things that will inspire us, because you've got a soul. That's the thing. You've got something that was made in the image of God that is just crying out for something big and beautiful and glorious. Yeah? Okay? It's a bit like a mechanical clock. Do you remember those? You wind them up. That spring is what energizes all the cogs and everything else. And for us, it's hope. It's things ahead. It's expectations, aspirations, longings, dreams. We need that. Hope matters in our lives. And if we without it, our heads go down. And so these two guys, they're on the road, their heads have gone down, okay? Drooping shoulders. You might know the feeling. Head down, drooping shoulders. They'd met someone whose presence had inspired them. They'd lifted their spirits, given them hope, but there'd been this shattering blow. Jesus had, you know, there he was, saying beautiful things and changing people's lives, and now he was gone. Dead and buried. And I don't know, that poignant phrase, we had hoped. And maybe you know what that's like. Maybe you know what it's like to have your hopes shattered. someone you had your confidence in walked away, gone. Maybe you can identify with that. Angie and I can. I'll just give you a tiny bit on that. Some years ago, I was diagnosed with advanced cancer, advanced prostate cancer. It's a shock. Maybe it's happened to you. You know, you're sitting there with a consultant. You've probably guessed, well, I hadn't, you've got cancer, and we haven't caught it early. It's advanced, stage 3, whatever. It's a shock. And you suddenly start realizing what matters and what doesn't matter. Yeah? And then just 4 years ago, our daughter, Ali, young mum with 2 children and husband, children, they were 5 and 3. They were camping down in Devon, bank holiday weekend in the summer. And we got a call on the Saturday night just from Dan to say, oh, Ali didn't feel well. They just went and found the nearest doctors to have a checkout. They've taken her off to hospital. 2 weeks later, she died, leaving 2 little children and a husband. It was shocking. It was brutal. 2 weeks, camping, gone. And we know what it's like to have your hopes dashed. That's where the book came from. We decided we would explore this. We talk about this so important of a subject of hope. A hope that holds on to God. That, hey, we're no heroes, but a hope that finds fresh joy and energy and fuel for living that goes way through and beyond the grave. We've got some outside if you want to look at that. We know what it is like. Their heads had gone down, but something happened that changed that hopeless situation. My second point, a surprising voice. They got their heads down, they're walking along, they're feeling cheesed off, fed up, ready to go home. A surprising voice. It wasn't an earthquake or a blinding vision. It was a gentle voice in their ear. And there's this lovely thing. As they talked and discussed things, Jesus came up and he walked along with them. It's just beautiful, isn't it? And it's kind of say, what are you talking about? What are you worried about? Can I join in the conversation? What are you worried about? Isn't that beautiful? A surprising voice. Oh, this morning when Hugh is leading us into prayer. I wonder if you're hearing a surprising voice this morning. There's someone coming alongside you and you today, whispering in your ear, what you're worrying about? What's troubling you? Isn't that beautiful? This is absolutely beautiful. Someone joined them on their journey, wanting to walk with them, who cared about them, ready to listen, ready to speak words of hope and help. Do you know what? That's the Christian message in a nutshell. That's the Christian message. Someone has come close. Jesus has come close. God has come close to walk with you, to listen, to talk, because he cares about you and wants to give you hope for the future. This is the gospel. This is what the Christian message is. It's beautiful. A surprising voice. Do you hear him? Are you hearing him this morning? Or is your head so full of clutter that you're shutting him out? Be still and know that I'm God. What's troubling you? Will you listen or will you push him away? So it's my second point, a surprising voice. Oh, don't be afraid to ask, Lord, I want to hear. If you're there, speak to me. Okay, my third point, a bigger picture. A bigger picture. As they stopped talking and started listening, something shifts. They get out of their little troubled world into a bigger world where there's the kindness of God, the beauty of God, the hope of God, the future that God has for you and me. You're not just a random collection of molecules. You didn't crawl out of a primeval pond and no, you were created by a creator God. I mean, how has that lie been swallowed by so many people? You've been created with purpose, with beauty. It's astonishing. You are special. You have value. You have meaning. Step into the bigger picture. Your life matters. It really does. You're cared for by a creator God. It is awesome. It really, really, really is. They get drawn out of their little world into something that just ignites their hope again. It's all here. You're so slow. It's all here. Why haven't you written? And he gives them a little Bible study. It's all about Jesus. It's pointing to him. And we'd all like to have been with him, getting that bigger picture. Their perspective starts to change as they get a glimpse of what God is up to in his world. He is present and active in his world. He is. It's not all going to the dogs. He's at work. His kingdom is breaking out in all kinds of unexpected places. The kingdom of heaven is breaking out. And one day, he will have his day. It's called the day of the Lord in the Bible. He will. Rights will be wronged. One day, he will have his day. Yeah? And that is a beautiful thing. I can't go into it too much. Read the book, anyway. Okay, so the bigger picture. I'm going to read you a quote by John Piper. Listen to this. John Piper is a church leader, writer, and all that stuff. The Church of Jesus Christ is the most important institution in the world. The assembly of the redeemed, the company of saints, the children of God. They're more significant in world history than any other group, organization, or nation. The United States of America compares to the Church of Jesus Christ like a speck of dust compares to the sun. The drama of international relations compares to the mission of the church like a kindergarten riddle compares to Hamlet or King Lear. And all the pomp and ceremony of May Day in Red Square fades into formless gray against the splendor of the bride of Christ. Take heed how you judge. Things are not what they seem. Jesus is building his church. People from every tribe and nation. And if you've got eyes to see it, it's happening. Nijmegen, Frankfurt, Colchester, across the nations. It's happening. Okay, the bigger picture. Okay, that's number three. Number four, an important invitation. This is where you come in. An important invitation. Pivotal point in the story, verse 28. Okay, listen to this. As they approached the village that they were going to, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly to stay. Oh, I bet they're glad they did. And so would you be if you invite him to stay. We'll be finishing here before too long. And all the stuff, the busyness, the news, the craziness will take over and swamp your head again if you're not careful. Yeah? An important invitation. It's such a moment. Such a moment. Many people in this room have had that moment. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? It's going to cost me a bit. I know I might be thought of a bit of an idiot by some people, but I just feel there's something going on here many people here have had those defining moments. And you could ask any of them, are they glad that, come on, let's have a show of hands. Are you glad that you took that moment? Yes, yes, yes. It's an important moment. You see, this visitor, this guest, is not going to twist your arm, force you into a corner. He just will invite you to follow him. Your choice. Important moment. Pivotal. This is the grace of God. The kindness of God reaching out. I love this. The first song we sang this morning. I've never sung that before. Please can you give me the name before I go home? Lovely song. There was a line in there somewhere about arms open wide, arms open, something like that. Isn't that beautiful? This is the grace of God, the kindness of God, an invitation. Beautiful. That's the gospel. This is Christianity. It is special. And they invite this one, well, someone who'd been a stranger a few minutes earlier, they invite him into their home and into their lives. Very, very special. And they sit around table. I love sitting around table. Do you like sitting around table with friends? It's lovely, isn't it? Sitting around table. He invited them in. They had table fellowship. They sat around the table. I love doing that. What's his name? Who said, take mountains and meals out of the Bible. Tim Chester, right? Take mountains and meals out of the Bible. There's not much left. Mountains, grandeur, glory, whoa! Meals, friendship, fellowship. This is the heart of God. I love sitting around table with dear friends. Favorite pastime. It doesn't really matter what's on the table, really, does it? It's being there with dear friends. And that's what is going around. You're not just getting nourished and fed. You're being fed in as a person and you're inner being, right? It is special, special, special. And they invited Jesus around their table. And then the tables turned, if I can put it that way. And he took the bread and broke the bread and said, "This is what I do for you. This is my body broken for you. And this wine here, this is my blood shed for you." They're beautiful, beautiful. This is such a special moment because they invited him in. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. They're refreshed. Their heads go up. The rest of the story. And they suddenly realize what's been going on. Didn't our hearts burn? Something was going on. They suddenly recognize that, you know, on that, oh yeah, I can see now. The last kind of few hours makes sense. God's been working in my life. Whoa. They're reorientated and there's a hop, skip and a jump in their step. Their heads are up and they're back to tell their friends, "You know what just happened to me? I've met Jesus." Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? And that's my last point. Fresh hope on the journey. Fresh hope on the journey. You see, we've had a challenging journey, but you know what? There's joy on the journey for the Christian. There is. There's joy on the journey. Whatever you're walking through, we've walked through some tough stuff, but there's joy on the journey. There's joy on the journey. We've got a wonderful future. As followers of Jesus, you've got an absolutely wonderful future. And I'm not going to go into it all the time. You see, here's the thing. Every Christian is called to be a believer, a lover, and a hoper. Faith, hope, and love. You've heard of those three? The cardinal virtues of being a Christian: faith, hope, and love. Every Christian is called to be a believer. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, yeah, you died for me. You've come for me. We understand that, the faith. The love, we understand that. Oh, impacted by the love of God. Whoa, personally, undeserved, amazing. Knowing the worst about us. The love of God that then kind of somehow touches us and we are called to love one another. We know that pretty well as well, okay? But we're not so good on the hopers. I think this is the burden of my book, really, that as Christians, we've got a magnificent hope. We really have. But we've lost sight of it. We've lost sight of it. Our heads have gone down. I'm getting carried away now, but I'm thinking of mealtimes. I'm thinking around the tables. You know what? You get to the end of the book in Revelation. When Jesus sat in the upper room with his disciples, he breaks bread. You can read about it in Matthew 6, and he says, my body broken for you, the cup that I share. I'm not going to do this again till I do it afresh in the kingdom. And I think he's speaking about the end of the story. You go to the end of Revelation, what do you see there? It's a banquet. It's the marriage of the Lamb. Hey, there's wine. There's celebration. It's a banquet. Right at the end of the book, that's where it's heading, a banquet. Face to face. That phrase is there in Revelation chapter 20. Face to face. Beautiful. Face to face. Not just with the Lord, but with my beautiful daughter, with those you've loved, lost, celebrating. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. One day, all things new. One day, we're living for that. And I don't have to worry if the jolly old cancer thing gets the better of me. No, I've got a wonderful hope. I've got a wonderful future. And so can you have as a follower of Jesus. Every Christian called to be a believer, a lover, and a hoper. Don't miss out on the hope that is yours. I've put a very simple thing in the book about just the, you know, we can make it so complicated sometimes. It's not. The future, your future, it's not complicated. It really isn't. I think that's just a way that the enemy robs people of their future hope. Oh, it's too complicated. No. It's simple. Okay? That's what we're called to be. And when, I don't know, are we breaking bread or not this morning? I don't know. We've got time. We're going to break bread this morning. It's beautiful. And just think of this. You're invited to table fellowship with Jesus. Now, it'd be great if we had a big table, wouldn't it? And we had loads of bread and wine. Because that's where it all began. And so, but you don't lose that there's the symbolism that we're touching this morning, the bread and the wine. You're invited to table fellowship. And just like those ones there, those the dear disciples there, around the table, their eyes were opened. And I want to pray this morning as we take the bread and the wine, whatever it is, that, Lord, open my eyes. I want a fresh glimpse of, Lord Jesus, who you are and the astonishing future that you have won for me that can be mine. Is that beautiful? This is the offer that's out there this morning. Jesus is wanting to come close to you, just like to these travelers, to open your eyes, to make your heart burn, to get to know you. And our future hope, properly understood, it enriches our lives too. It's not just something way up in the future. My time's gone, but I can't resist a little bit more here. In Peter, listen to this. This is what Peter says. Peter, disciple. I've just started watching The Chosen. Anyone seen it? Down to earth guy, isn't it? Anyway, he says this. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope, a lively hope. Ooh, it's alive. You've got a down payment of the future now, a lively hope, okay? It goes on, it gets even better, through the resurrection of Jesus, to an inheritance that can never perish, it can never spoil, it can never fade, and you've got an inheritance kept in heaven for you. And you've got blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. A foretaste. Can I pray for us? And then we'll go on from there. Lord, what a joy in a world where so many heads have gone down. Oh, lack of hope. What's it all about? Weird hope, disappointment. Thank you for that you come close and you speak in our ear. And you show your loving kindness to us. And you, Lord Jesus, you have won an amazing future for us. A future where one day, the banquet, singing, celebration, face to face. And I pray this morning, Lord, please, as we take the bread and the wine, open our eyes, come among us. Lord, wherever two or three are gathered, you're there. Please, come close. Maybe just some for the first time this morning. That they'll say, yes, please come. I want to stay with me. I want to walk with you. In Jesus' name.